Hey, this is Andrea, and you're listening to the City Heart Podcast. We hope that this series inspires you, challenges you, and propels you to dive deeper into your relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
If you don't know, I'm not Pastor Kevin or Pastor Andrea. My name is Jamar. Super excited to be just delivering a word from the Lord this morning to you guys. And as you may know, we've been in a new sermon series entitled Kingdom Come. It's been really cool. Talking about the kingdom of God and things like that. But when I used to read the Bible as a kid and I used to see kingdom and kingdom of God, I used to be like, kingdom, that's like some old ancient foreign concept. How's this relevant to us today? I used to think of imagery like kings and queens and serfs and peasants and hobbits and dragons and dungeons and knights and round tables and all that stuff. I was like, how in the world is this relevant? But as we like to say a lot here at City Heart Church is that the word is alive. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the word is alive. We call it the living word of God. And that means throughout the generations, the decades, the centuries, the millennia, it's been relevant to the people existing in that time. And so we wanted to peel back the onion and decipher, what does that mean, the kingdom of God? What does that mean for us in today's times? And so part one, Pastor Andrea kicked us off. We talked about just defining the kingdom of God and what that really is and why it's important to us today. Pastor Kevin picked it up last week and talked about how the kingdom of God doesn't really have defined borders and boundaries. It lives on the inside of us. And so we have a responsibility to carry that around with us. Amen. Amen. Today, we're going to continue the series from part three, talking about kingdom culture. Kingdom culture. We're going to dig a little deeper into what a citizen of God looks like. Let's pray. Dear God, we are grateful for this opportunity just to come in and worship you, Lord God, freely and to be able to just to give our praise, Lord God, and just to listen and decipher and to peer into your word, Lord God, and just hear what you have to say. We're grateful that the word is alive, God, that you have a word for us, Lord. May you speak clearly, Lord God, and communicate clearly and effectively through me today, Lord God. May only truth go out. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I was asked to preach this message, I sat down and said, okay, let's look at a definition of what culture is. According to the internet, it says that culture is a social behavior and construct found in human societies, as well as the knowledge, beliefs, arts, laws, customs, capabilities, and habits of the individuals in these groups. In short, like my dad likes to say, this is how we do things. Culture is how we do things. You talk about culture at your house, culture at your church, culture is how we do things. So that's the short definition. And so I started thinking, okay, cool. Well, just to get the juices flowing, you know, we're living in a country where we call ourselves the great melting pot. So there's all sorts of cultures here. And so you might be a part of one or multiple cultures or subcultures. And I just got to thinking, okay, what kind of cultures are there out there? Let me just dig into my bag of tricks real quick. And the first culture that I was able to think of is the hip-hop culture, right? Hip-hop culture. Now you got the iced out chain and all that. You know, it's authentic. It's authentic. It's one of one, baby. My wife helped me out with it. But
she said no.
Hey, don't deny it now. So, well, you know, the hip-hop culture, you know, you might be listening to your Nas's, your Jay-Z's and them. You know, you might have a little gangster lean when you walk and all that. I remember used to walk to class and I had a little gangster lean. It wasn't because I was gangster, it was because I had tendonitis. But I had that gangster lean and I tried to get the jerseys and the baggy pants. My mom didn't like buying me baggy pants, so I had to really force them down when I had to walk. And, you know, Air Forces, y'all remember them? Yeah. Air Force Ones, you know what I'm talking about. And I only, see, my parents instilled in me the concept of being frugal with your money, I guess is a great way to say it. And so I only got one pair of Air Forces, like, through high school. I had to make them things last. So I had to walk careful. Y'all remember that. You didn't want to scuff them up. So you got the hip-hop culture. That's one culture. I don't really identify that with hip-hop culture these days. They on some other stuff. So another culture you got that outdoors culture. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I've been grafted into the outdoors culture ever since I moved down south, amen, and kind of married into a little bit of land out there. You know, I feel like I am a native son of Mississippi in some way, shape, or form. But, you know, outdoors culture, growing up hunting, fishing, all that good fun stuff. I would put this on, but it would really mess my hair up. You don't want to see that. Just got a couple more cultures in this little bag here. Let's see what else we got. Let's see what else we got. So. You got the jock culture, you know what I'm saying? The folks who are too cool for school. I had to work hard for this. You know, when I was little, my dad had a NC State Letterman's jacket, and I used to wear that thing around when he wasn't watching. And I had to work hard to get one of my own. I was either going to buy one or work hard for it. And I ran track for a year, and they were able to get me one. But you got the jock culture. And we got one more in my bag of tricks. One more. You can't forget the gamer culture. My boy Pete, my boy Brian, they know what I'm talking about. You know, talking about streaming and Call of Duty versus Modern Warfare, or Call of Duty Modern Warfare versus Battlefield and all those conversations. I wasn't very good with gaming, but I could talk the trash with the best of them, I promise you. So there's a couple of cultures. I mean, there might be a few more. You might put some on screen. There's the biker culture, right? If you look real close, you might see Mr. Clyde in the crowd over there, okay? And don't tell Mr. Clyde, don't mistake him. Say, oh, you have a really nice Harley, Mr. Clyde. No, no, no. He rides an Indian motorcycle. So you might see a dark Clyde if you say, hey, that's a nice Harley. Can I ride your Harley? So we got another culture. We got, let's see what else we got here. We have the hard rock culture, right? And Mr. Chris Graham's actually featured in that picture. What a coincidence. You got that. And then lastly, my wife is about to be a member of this particular culture here. You got the soccer mom. You got the soccer mom culture. Now, be careful. They're dressed conservatively. They have their nice sunglasses, and they're blasting their Britney Spears and all the stuff. But if you cross their baby, they will cuss you clean out. I swear it. I wish I would have my camera sometimes when I've seen it. I would have had some major hits on YouTube. And then, of course, what we're talking about today, of course, kingdom culture. Kingdom culture. The interesting thing about culture is that you could kind of give yourself a quick three-question test to see if you're part of a particular culture, particularly kingdom culture. You might be wondering, over the last 2 weeks that we've been in this series, am I part of the kingdom of God? And is all this stuff that Pastor Andrea and Pastor Kevin's been talking about, am I lining up? Well, this is a three-question test. I'm going to speak briefly. We're going to go over this, and I'm going to sit down. We're going to break down, then we're going to go home. Amen. So the three-question test, key identifiers, if you will, from a business management perspective. The first one is, what are you listening to? What are you listening to? My mom used to ask me, Jamar, what are you listening to? I might have been bumping some Jay-Z or something like that. And I had to quickly change to Kirk Franklin. So, oh, just some Kirk. Just listen to some Kirk, you know. Holly, if you hear me. Oh, amen. But what are you listening to is so important to ask yourself. You know, and this isn't restricted to music only, but it could be inclusive of podcasts, YouTube videos, movies that you watch, et cetera, et cetera. And this is important because these things are influencers on us. Dare I say, they preach to us what the culture is and reinforces the culture that they are proclaiming and professing. So what we listen to essentially is cultural reinforcement. We got to be careful that what we're allowing to influence us isn't greater than what God is doing and his level of influence on our lives. So what does all this mean for kingdom culture and Christianity? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, and all the verses should be on the screen today. And it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In Psalms 145, verse 10 through 12, I like this. It says, all of your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might so that people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. It says, people tell of your glory and kingdom and speak of your might so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. What you listen to is cultural reinforcement. So that means as Christians in the kingdom culture, we might listen to a little worship music every now and then, put a little vibe on, you know, put a little bit of Bethel, a little bit of Israel, all them folks, just a little praise so we can let that dwell within our hearts. This also includes listening to a godly word or sermon or Bible study every now and then. But we do need to be careful. I want to caution everybody. Everything that's proclaiming to be a word from the Lord is not. As many of you guys know, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says this, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. As you guys may know, there are many forces within the global church right now, today, that are leading masses astray with doctrine that is counter to Jesus Christ. So whatever, whoever you might be listening to or studying or reading or whatever, make sure that that thing is submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ and that it preaches Christ crucified over all and his redemption and his love and his power. If Christ is Lord, then that's a high indication that that thing is something that you should allow to influence you. So the first question is, what are you listening to? First question to define, am I living this kingdom culture? Second question is, what you talking about? Turn to your neighbor and say, what you talking about? What are you talking about, baby? Words have power. So some people have told me that I'm kind of nosy. I disagree. I just have really good ears and hearing, okay? But I've realized if I'm sitting on a plane or on a bus somewhere, if I'm just in the cafeteria, you know, somehow I just hear conversations. And if I listen to about 15 to 20 minutes of a person's rambling to another person, I could pretty much narrow down what they're all about. I could pretty much narrow down their cultural identity. And this is kind of human nature, because what you're passionate about on the inside, it's going to find a way to come out. Amen. It's going to find a way to come out. So if you hear me and Pastor Kevin talking, maybe we're on Saturday setting up, having a great time. There's a great plug for coming out on Saturday to set up. But if we're here on Saturday and we're talking, you guys might catch a conversation just for 5 minutes or so. You probably will be able to decipher that me and him are part of that diehard New England Patriots culture. Diehard. Very quick, because what's on the inside, what you're passionate about, will come out. So my question for us today as Christians is, can people decipher that we're members of the kingdom based on what we talk about? Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. That's a lot. That ain't cheaply. Richly. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Words have power. Amen. Our speech should be focused on lifting up a praise to God as well as lifting up one another. This wasn't part of my message, but Joe touched on this during the welcome part. He said when Paul was in prison, they weren't focused on their situation. They were locked down. They were going to be persecuted heavily for proclaiming Christ. But his first thought wasn't to sulk and try to think of a way out. It was to praise. And when he started praising God, the chains fell. Just like Joe was saying, the chains fell off. I encourage you guys to read that story. And what I've seen over and over and over in the Word of God is praise sets the atmosphere for God to move. So you can do all the schemes and plans that you want. I caution you, I implore you, I admonish you to set an atmosphere with praise first. Last time I spoke, I talked about how Jehoshaphat, one of the kings back in the day of Judah, he was a decent king. He knew God, but he just got his butt kicked because he tried to do something on his own strength. He tried to fight some folks on his own strength. And now three armies were coming against him. And he said, look, we're going to do things different. We're going to go to God. We're going to fast. And what they did first, before they went out to a battle, the prophet said, go out there and just praise God. So they went in front of the enemy, they praised God, and it was a total victory. So set the stage with your praise. Words have power. All right, let me get back on script. So additionally, in kingdom culture, it's just imperative that we make sure in some way, shape, or form, our conversations bring about Christ as the chief cornerstone, that we're centering our conversations on Christ, that we're pointing people to Christ with our conversation. Colossians, just one chapter over from what we were at before, Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Does what we say reflect a life that's zealous about our faith? Because remember, what we're passionate about on the inside, it's going to find a way out. People should know that we're part of the kingdom of God based on what we talk about. So the first question about what culture are you in, and just questioning, hey, am I passing this three-question test here? If I'm part of kingdom culture, the first question was, what are you listening to? The second question, what are you talking about? And the final question here, what you look like? What do you look like? You know, appearance is extremely powerful. I said words is powerful. They are very powerful. Appearance is also pretty powerful because it will often indicate to others what culture you're a part of without needing to hear them speak, without needing to hear what they listen to. You can look at a person and for the most part, identify what culture they are part of. Give an example, Mr. Chris Graham. I know I've shouted him out multiple times today, but Chris Graham, first time I met that dude, I was like, okay, hey, my name is Jamar Dawson. I saw him, he was tatted up. He had some darker colored clothes on. I said, he's probably part of the hard rock culture. He probably likes that stuff. So let me ask this guy, an obscure post-hardcore metal band. Let me see if he knows about him. And I was like, hey, my name is Jamar Dawson. And hey, have you heard of this group called Woe Is Me? And he was like, yeah, I've heard about them. They're kind of lame. I was like, yeah, they are kind of lame. But the key is he knew what I was talking about because he identified with a culture. What's on the inside will often come out. As Christians, though, our physical appearance isn't our identifier. It's our actions. Let's check James chapter 2, verse 14, 17 through 18. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds or actions? Can such faith save them? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Well, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. In some translations, it says works instead of deeds there. And as we see here, actions show what we look like. So when we go to the fire stations on Sunday to serve the firefighters, that's showing what we look like. When we go to Kirksey Middle School on a Saturday, like high noon on a Saturday, right in the middle of the day for a couple hours to paint the walls, that's showing what we look like. When we love in the presence of our enemies, in the presence of our haters, in the presence of folks who talk behind our backs, when we choose to love and forgive, they say, whoa. Because that's showing what we look like. Amen. Our actions reflect what we look like. You know, the statistics say about 65% of Americans identify as Christian, but we all know that's probably a little high. You know, people can identify with what they want, but the key thing is when event happens or a situation that challenges you or there's pressure, it's going to separate the real from the fake. Yeah. My dad used to tell this story every time when he was, when he was preaching that. When he was a little boy, he would go to the beach. They were in Kinston, North Carolina, right? So real close to the East Coast border, this eastern seaboard. And so they would go to the beach every now and then. And my dad was like, I wonder why my mom always comes up to the edge of the water, so splash, but when the waves come, she kind of runs back. She never gets more than ankle deep into the water. And then later he realized that she couldn't swim because there was a separation event that occurs. Likewise with us as Christians, we might proclaim to walk the walk and talk the talk. On the outside, we might look put together, but if we're not proclaiming Christ by our actions, we're not showing who we are. There's a parable in the Bible when Christ was talking to some of the religious leaders and the folks who thought they had it all put together. Christ basically told them this parable. He's like, look, when you take a cup, when you're about to go and drink a glass of water, why are you guys so focused on cleaning the outside? He said, clean what's on the inside. Yeah. Then the outside will be clean. Yeah. What he was saying was, get everything right here. Don't worry about your appearance. Don't worry about looking all together. Don't worry about talking to other people like you got it together. Get it right within you first. Like I said in the previous point, what's on the inside will come out. So the key questions, three key culture identifiers or questions that you could ask yourself if you're in the kingdom of God is, what are you listening to? What are you talking about? And what you look like. And then take that and see, does this line up with the kingdom of God and the culture of the kingdom of God? So this is basically my last point here, excluding Christianity for a second, all right? If you look at every single culture on earth, it doesn't have to just be here in the United States, but every single culture on earth has one thing in common. That one thing is a pride and passion for the culture that they're a part of. Think about it. Let's just say you pull up to a stoplight, right? You pull up somewhere in Madison or Jackson or Flowood. You pull up to a stoplight, right? You're just sitting there in your, you know, Kia Sportage or something. And then somebody pulls up next to you with his rims clean. He got his wheels clean. He's bumping 8-ball and MJG, 212s in the trunk. You know what I'm talking about? Just clean, just bumping. You know, so the sub's all the way turned up. And you might look at him and he might look at you. Is he going to turn his music? No, he's proud of that. You're going to be looking at him. Man, that dude's bumping, man. He's going to be like, yeah, I'm bumping. You might be sitting at a stoplight and, you know, somebody who's part of the outdoors culture, you know, rolls up with a Chevy 8-inch lift on it. You know what I'm saying? Full kitted out. He's just blasting country music. I saw this dude. And the crazy thing is, I probably shouldn't say this. My wife told me not to. I moved down, and I know you always hear the stereotype of there's rednecks down south. Well, I've met quite a few blacknecks down south, okay? I've met some Asian country folk. I've met some Hispanic country folk. That's one of the reasons why I like Mississippi, is you're always surprised. And everybody's kind of the same, too. But we pulled up at a light, me and my wife. My wife didn't notice this, but I was just sort of looking like this. I pulled up to a light. There's this black dude. He pulled up in a Chevy 8, 9, 10-inch lift, right? He was blasting country, and he was singing every word. And this wasn't pop country. This was like hardcore country. He had a camo. I'm not lying. He had a camo hat with the fish hook on it. He was in the culture, okay? But when he saw me, he didn't turn it down and stop singing. He was proud. He was proud of that culture. You might pull up to a soccer mom. You might look at her. She might look at you. What a 2020 Honda Odyssey with all the kitted out. See, she might not even have kids in the car, but she'll have all the video screens flipped down with a Disney movie playing, just letting people know, I got it like that. Listen to her Taylor Swift. proud of the culture. But why is it, I think you guys know where I'm going here, why is it as Christians when it's time for us to represent the culture, we get a little timid? Is it because we're not fully all in? Is it because we're afraid that someone might ask us some questions and we may not have the answers? Is it because we might have talked about Jesus on our Twitter or Facebook before, and people are like, we don't want to hear that Jesus, you know, turn that down. That's not the time. And you just said, you know what? I don't want to offend anybody. So I'm just going to be quiet. I'm going to keep Jesus. I'm going to have a personal Jesus, just me and myself. My relationship just going to be private. Well, I got an encouragement for you if that's how you've ever felt. My pastor from way back in the day told me this one story. He was driving home from Alabama to Louisiana real late at night, had his wife and two kids in the car, and it was real dark on 20. He just passed over the Mississippi border, and there wasn't a whole lot of lights on the side of the road, so he had his brights on, okay, like normal people do when it's real dark and there's not a lot of people around. Every now and then, as he was going westbound, some cars would come eastbound. He had his high beams on, and they would flicker to him to turn your high beams off. You know, like when you're driving and people have the high beams, you might flicker at them. And he said, you know what, I thought about it, and I said, why would I turn my lights down for a temporary interaction with somebody else to make them comfortable? Now, please, if you're driving, please turn your high beams off. But the point remains, why turn our lights down? Why dim our lights any way, shape, or form? So Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 says this: blessed are the persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, I don't agree with the doctrine of Muslims and Islam, but I could say one thing about them. Them brothers are passionate. Yeah. Yeah. They are steadfast. Yes. And if you notice, atheists, unbelievers, they might come down hard on the church and boycott and this and that to Christians. But when it comes to Muslims, they don't really say much about them. Could it be? I believe that one of the reasons for this is because they are so passionate about what they believe. If I'm a hip hop dude, I'm a hard rock dude, no one's not gonna look at you like, oh, what you do? No, you're passionate for your culture. Okay, good, God bless you, whatever. Oh, you believe in Islam, okay, great, you're passionate. But you're a Christian, and they see that us being kind of timid, we start losing ground. There's actually some churches in this country that have rewritten the Bible and taken offensive things out of it just to try to make other people feel more comfortable. But the Bible even says that the gospel is offensive. Yeah. Why? Because the truth is often offensive. Yeah. But that doesn't discount the fact that it's the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. So what I believe is we need to unapologetically turn on our high beams. But not just that. Turn on your fog lights. Turn on your blinkers. Turn on the interior lights and let people know I'm proud and passionate about the kingdom of God. This is what I believe in. This is who I am. And here's the other thing. I believe when we start doing it hardcore and loving one another and loving in the presence of our enemies and say, look, bro, I know you don't believe what I believe. I know your perspective is different, but this is what I love God, but I'm also gonna love you because God said to not just love me, but love your neighbor. If we get that second part right as well, people are gonna see our passion and they might just ask, what is it that's different about you? Because I might wanna get a taste of that. I've had people come up to me, and I didn't know what to say. I was just living in a culture. When I got into college, I was with a bunch of brothers and sisters of Christ. We were in Bible studies all the time. We were in our own microcosm, and someone came up to me and said, Jamar, why are you always smiling? And I was like, I guess that's what's inside of me coming out, because I have real joy. I have real community. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this: but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. See, we need to stop having a corporate and stuffy view of Christianity. We approach Christianity like it's a 1 hour, one time a week thing, like it's boring, like it's without life. But let me tell you, kingdom culture ain't boring. I think God is really over unenthusiastic worship and unenthusiastic giving and unenthusiastic prayer and unenthusiastic expectations, because it's not boring. It's full of adventure. It's full of life. Like that verse I just read. Let me read another one. John chapter 14, verse 12 says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater than these, because I am going to the Father. When I see that my purpose is literally to change the world, And when I see that I have been empowered to do greater things than Christ, I can't help but think of words like adventure and triumph and passion and struggle and overcoming. When we have the Holy Spirit guiding us and Christ working through us, there's no limits to what we accomplish. So as I close, I just want to ask, is what you're listening to, is what you're saying, and what you look like through your actions, is that lining up with the culture of the kingdom of God? Are we passionate about a relationship with Jesus and filled with love for others? Or are we just drifting through each day, disconnected from the culture and not having an impact? Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40 says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Simply put, kingdom culture is emulating Christ by loving God and loving others. A true kingdom life consistently will reflect the culture outwardly to those and inwardly as well to ourselves. Bow your heads with me.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you want to hear more about this series or learn more about our church, check us out at cityheartjackson.com or follow us online at cityheartjxn.